while you're making introductions, you helped him out.
Is this supposed to fit into this? Good evening, everybody. It's a few days before Yom Kippur, and it's appropriate for us to have an opportunity to focus on the significance of the upcoming day of Yom Kippur, as well as this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Shuvah, and the days in which we find ourselves leading up to... You can have it. Leading up to and culminating on this Yom Kippur, the most important, significant, and serious day of the Jewish calendar. What I want to share with you in the time that we have together tonight is some thoughts on the notion of tshuva. We hear a great deal about tshuva. We are taught a great deal about tshuva. We understand that tshuva is a very important priority, and it's important for us to try to understand the nature of the phenomenon of tshuva. I'm happy to see so many of you from so many different schools in the greater metropolitan area. I'm so happy to see you at Stern College. One of the things that I do is I have the privilege of teaching here at this university. I teach at Stern College. And I hope that I'll have the pleasure of having the opportunity to study with all of you when you make the right decision and come to this great university. In the 1960s, a very important question was posed to Rabbi Moshe Halevi Steinberg, then the rabbi of the Kiryat Yam community in Israel. I'd like to invite you to look on the first page. The answer is summarized in English, but the question is not. And we need to focus on the question because the question really highlights for us the power and the problematics of the phenomenon of tshuva. He says, in formulating the question, "Your Honorable One, asked my opinion with regard to Inyan Nachri, a Gentile, somebody who is not Jewish. L'she'avar chaver pa'il b'miflaga ha'natzit." And we're not just talking about a Gentile, we're talking about somebody who was a member in the past in the Nazi party. We're talking about somebody who during the Second World War identified himself publicly as a Nazi, Hayadua Lishimtza, the infamous, the notorious Nazi party. And you've studied enough to know what it means when we think about and when we hear the word the Nazi party during the Second World War. And Rabbi Steinberg continues that not only was this person a member of the Nazi party, but v'yesh lo haniach she'be'atzmo hishtateif b'ma'asim nifsha'im. And we can safely assume that he himself participated in sinful acts. Members of the Nazi party were the ones who were responsible for perpetrating the terrible, terrible tragedy of the Holocaust of the Second World War. And this individual is not only a member of the Nazi party, he's not only a card-carrying, dues-paying member, but he's an active member. And in all probability, he acted against Jews. In all probability, he killed Jews. In all probability, he acted fully in accordance with Nazi ideology, whose goal was to eradicate Jews from the face of the earth. And now, v'ka'et chazar b'tshuva. And now he wants to repent. And now he feels terrible about what he did. And he feels so terrible about it, and he's filled with such remorse, that he actually wants to go ahead and convert and join the Jewish people. He wants to become a ger. Question. In the Kablim Oto, can we accept such a person to be a bona fide member of the Jewish people? What does it mean that he did tshuva? To what extent can one say that tshuva is possible? How can we, or must we, or should we allow this person entry into the peoplehood of Israel? Now comes the answer. Im ladun mibchina enushit bichlal, if somebody, he says, wants to look at this from a general humanitarian perspective, or mibchinat hakavod vaharegesh haleumi befrat, or if one wants to look at this specifically from a national perspective, from the perspective of honor, of emotion of the Jewish people, obviously, he says, there's no way that we could possibly allow such a person to be part of our people. It's impossible. How could we let somebody who was an active member of the Nazi party become a Jew? It's inconceivable. Pashutu barur she'ein ha-matzpun marshe. Our conscience doesn't allow us to relate to him and to favorably respond to his request. Such a person whose hands are stained with Jewish blood, asher yadav dam Yehudi maleot, his hands are full of Jewish blood, ein mekomo b'machane Yisrael, has no place in the Jewish people. Tamei tamei yikralo, he's despicable, simply unacceptable. Cannot even imagine that such a person with such a past could possibly be joining Achenu B'nai Yisrael to be part of the Jewish people. And therefore, how can we possibly consider him a Jew? And therefore, how can we possibly accept him into the Jewish people? Second paragraph. Aval, however, Mibchinata halacha hayivesha, from technical Jewish law, there's no way that we can disallow such a person from joining the Jewish people. Technically speaking, we have to accept him. And why do we have to accept him? Hine Kayin, he gives a number of examples. And I want to review some of these examples with you. And I want to start specifically with a very extreme case. It doesn't get more extreme than this, than somebody who wants to do tshuva from the most horrific acts possible, and wants to do tshuva to such an extent that he wants to change his identity and become part of the Jewish people. Says Rabbi Steinberg, we have to accept him. Tshuva is tshuva. And he brings a number of examples. Hine Kayin, second line, second paragraph. Harotzeach harishon b'toldot ha'enushot, the first murderer in human history. The Medrash says, take a look on the second page. Take a look on page 2 on the top. I Xerox the Medrash for you. The Medrash says, right in the middle of that first paragraph, pagabo adam harishon, that after Cain killed Hevel, and after Cain left his encounter with God after having killed Hevel, the Medrash says that he bumps into Adam HaRishon, Pogaba Adam HaRishon, Omalo. So Adam says to him, Manase b'dinecha, what happened in your judgment? Omalo, Cain says to Adam, Asisi tshuva v'nispasharti, I did tshuva and I've been reconciled. The first human being in human history who was a murderer says, I did tshuva and it's going to be okay. Yes, I'm going to be punished. Yes, I walk around for the rest of my life with the so-called mark of Cain on my forehead. But ultimately I'm not being destroyed. Somehow the tshuva that I did, I'm sorry about what I did, the tshuva that I did is helping me. And Adam HaRishon says, wow, that's unbelievable. And says Rabbi Steinberg, look, even a murderer can do tshuva and the tshuva will be accepted. And then he quotes from the Medrash in Parshas Bo, the next entry on the second page. The Pasuk says in Eov at the end of the second line, in the middle of the second page, Bachutz lo yolin ger, that a stranger will not lodge in the street, says the Medrash on this Pasuk in Eov, She'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu poseh livaria. God doesn't disqualify any human being. Ela lakol hu mikabel. God responds to everybody. Hasha'orim niftachim b'chol sha'ah. The gates are open all the time. V'chol mishehu mevakesh likanes yikanes. And whoever wants to can come in to the gates and be embraced by the presence and by the warmth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anybody can come in. And therefore Rabbi Steinberg says that if the gates are open for everyone, if every human being, kol mi shehu mevakesh, so what right do we have to say to this former Nazi that we're not prepared to have him join the Jewish people? And then the last example is at the bottom of page 2. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Gittin a really horrific story about Nebuzaradan, about the chief butcher of Nebuchadnezzar. If you take a look in the second line, Sach li zakein echad me anche Yerushalayim. Rabbi Chia says that an elderly Jew from Jerusalem told him, Bibikazu, in this particular valley, Harag Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim Masayim v'achases rei ribo. Masayim v'achases rei is 211. A ribo is 10,000. 211 10,000s equals 2,110,000. In this valley, this individual was responsible for the murder of over 2 million people. Ubi Yerushalayim harak 94 ribo. And in Yerushalayim, he killed 94 times 10,000, which is 940,000 people altogether. Here's an individual. One individual is responsible for killing 3 million people. And then the Gemara concludes that he's sorry and he has regret and he's upset about what he does and he runs away. 3 lines from the bottom of page 2. The Igayer, the last line, he becomes a ger, he converts to Judaism. And the Gemara says, Nevuzaradan ger tzedekaya. He killed 3 million people. And the Gemara says that we accept him as a ger tzedek. So therefore Rabbi Steinberg says, even though my conscience, even though my humanity, even though my Jewish identity does not allow me to accept such a person, it's simply over the line. But nevertheless, technically speaking, look at Cain, look at the Medrash about Eov, and look at Nevuzaradan, who was worse than Nevuzaradan, and yet he could be accepted into the Jewish people. What does it mean to do tshuva? There's a prerequisite, says Rabbi Steinberg. Look in the last paragraph. Lachain, therefore he concludes, back to page 1. Therefore he concludes, after having cited all of these sources, Im habeitin mishuchna, if the Jewish court is convinced, Shehu hitcharet becharata gemura, that he actually really is sorry about what he did, Chazar b'tshuva shleima, he really did tshuva, Mitameitz b'kenut, he's really sincere about his desire to become a Jew. There are no ulterior motives here. It's not like he's going to get any benefit from it, but he really, genuinely, and sincerely wants to join the Jewish people. He concludes, Ein mitzad ha-halacha kol isur lekablo l'chek ha-yahadut. Technically speaking, we have to allow him to be accepted into the Jewish people. look at the power of tshuva. And that's something for us to think about and to consider. Why don't you turn around? Look at the power of tshuva. The power of tshuva says that you could be the worst of the worst. You could be somebody who, on the face of it, morally, ethically, nationally, is unacceptable to the Jewish people. But nevertheless, tshuva is tshuva. And if it's done sincerely, then it has to be accepted. If you turn to page 4, I want to qualify this statement of Rabbi Steinberg based on a responsum of the Chavot Yair. It was a responsum that was written in the 17th century by Rabbi Yair Chaim Bachrach, who lived in Germany, lived in Worms in the 17th century. And he establishes a very important principle, and I want to read from a summary of this based on an article by Rabbi Joseph Pollack, who is the Hillel director of Boston University. We're now on the left side at the bottom of page 4. Surely one may ask, while there is nobility on the part of the court in accepting the turnabout of Nebuzaradan, does it have no obligations with respect to the crimes of which he was guilty? According to Jewish law, if somebody converts to Judaism, gershenit gayer kekatan shenoladami, somebody who converts to Judaism is like they were born for the first time, they were just born. So does that mean that anything they did before they converted is wiped off? Does that mean that any action that they engaged in is simply forgotten? Or do they carry some baggage with them when they join the Jewish people? Yes. Gershon is Gayer Kikotan Shanola Dami. That's only with regard, says Rabbi Bachrach, to the relationship that I have with God. In any mitzvos Sheben Adam Lamokom. So then I don't have to worry about that. I wasn't Jewish when I did it. Now I'm a newborn babe. Now I'm a Jew for the first time. But let's say I stole money from somebody before I converted. Let's say I hurt somebody before I converted, and now I convert to Judaism. That means it's over? That means I forget about it? That means it's not relevant anymore? After all, I was just born. I don't have any previous life? Rabbi Bachrach says no. Rabbi Bachrach says that when it comes to Bein Adam Lachaveiro, you take it with you. And so therefore, Rabbi Pollack teaches us that even though Rabbi Steinberg may say that tshuva is enough to allow this person to become part of the Jewish people. But it's not as if there's a clean slate. It's not as if automatically we forget about anything that happened before. But there is a level of responsibility and there is a level of accountability that comes with it. But for us, what's significant is the fact that technically speaking, this person could become a member of the Jewish people. Turn to page 5. What does tshuva mean? If I were to ask you to take out a piece of paper and a pen and start a sentence that says, tshuva is, what would follow in that sentence? So if you look at the top of page 5, I Xeroxed for you, psukim at the end of Sefer Devarim, we just read them very recently from the Torah in Parshas Nitzavim, where the Torah talks about the beginning of Perek Lamed, Vahaya ki Yavo, Alecha kol advarim ha'ele, Vahabracha, Vahaklola, Asher nosati lefanecha, Vahashevosa levavecha, you will return. Hashevosa is the language of tshuva. And then in Pasuk Beis, Vishafta ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return. The Torah uses the word for tshuva. The Torah uses the language of lashuv. But the Torah doesn't describe what that means. This coming Shabbos, in less than a day, this coming Shabbos has a name. It's called Shabbos Shuvah. Why is this Shabbos called Shabbos Shuvah? Not only because it's within the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, but because the first word of the Haftorah that's recited, this Shabbos, begins with the word Shuvah. Look at the bottom right-hand side of this page, of page 5. in Hosea, at the end of the Navi Hosea, it begins, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Once again, it's the same language, Vishafta Ad Hashem Elokecha. And once again, it's the same ambiguity, because we're not told exactly what this is. Vishafta, return. What do you mean return? How do I return? What does it mean to return? Give me the formula. Tell me exactly what to do. The Torah does not do that. If you look at the Gemara on the top of page 6, we find a similar problem. The Gemara at the top of page 6 at the end of Maseches Yuma also uses the word tshuva, but again, doesn't define it. Does not tell us exactly what it is. There are different statuses, there are different categories of atonement. And if somebody does something that they should not have done and does tshuva, this happens. If somebody does something that they shouldn't have done, if somebody doesn't do something that they should have done and does tshuva, this happens. But once again, even though the Gemara uses the language of tshuva, the Gemara is not explicit in defining, take me by the hand and tell me what I have to do. I'm sure in your respective schools, you've been hearing a lot about tshuva. The question is, what is it? Okay, I want to do it. I want to do the right thing. So what does it mean? It's only later on in the medieval period in the Rishonim that we have a more explicit definition of what tshuva is. And so I Xerox for you on page 6, and I Xerox for you on page 7, definitions of tshuva. And even though the order may differ in different sources, it has to do with, I'm sorry about the past. It has to do with, I'm expressing my remorse. It has to do with, in the future, I'm not going to do it again. There are certain stages. Take a look at the bottom of page 7 to see what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva defines what tshuva is. Umahi ha-tshuva, says the Rambam, she-ya-azov ha-chote cheto, that a person right now has to remove themselves from the sin in the present. The yasiro mimachshavto, and get it out of their minds. The yigmar belibo shelo yasehu od, and make a statement to themselves about the future that they will not do it again. And then the next line, yisnachem al she'avad, they should be upset about the past. So there's a present component, remove yourself. There's a future component, commit to not do it again. And then there's a past component, be sorry about what you did in the past. It's not as if what I did in the past is okay, it's fine, but I just won't do it again. It's more than that. I'm deeply embarrassed. I'm saddened by what I did in the past. But the question that I want to ask and conclude with is, how does this work? How can you take away something that you did? Let's say I did something in the past that wasn't appropriate. Let's say I didn't keep Shabbos the way I was supposed to keep Shabbos. Or let's say I didn't keep Kashrus the way I was supposed to keep Kashrus. Let's say I didn't do what I should have done. So what are you going to tell me? Now I do tshuva, so it's okay? It goes away? How does it go away? How can you remove something that you did? Or how can you make happen something that you didn't do? If your Torah says you should have done something, you have a mitzvah to do something, and you didn't do it, okay, so I do tshuva. I'm very, very upset about what I did. I'm very sorry about what I did. I promise I'll never do it again. But meanwhile, it happened. How do you get rid of tshuva? How do you get rid of the sin that you did? How does tshuva work? And here I draw your attention to the final source at the top of page 8. And this comes from the Mesilas Yesharim of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in the 18th century. He asks this question, and I want you to consider this question, because you need to take it seriously. You need to really think about yourselves during this time. That's what this time is all about, to think about one's life and to think about one's values. So he asks at the top of page 8, how is it possible to make straight that which is crooked? The sinful act is apparently irrevocable. If a person commits murder, God forbid, or adultery, God forbid, how can that person undo what that person did? How can you blot out of existence the wrong that you committed? The whole concept of tshuva is simply inexplicable. How can you make go away something that happened? I'm sorry that it happened. I won't do it again. But it happened. It's out there. The reality is that it occurred. How can I make it go away? And there are many who questioned the possibility of tshuva. In Western thought, philosophers like Spinoza and Kant and Nietzsche thought that tshuva is just simply impossible because it's totally irrational. How can you remove something that happened? And Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto tells us something important and that I invite you to think about. And what he tells us is it's not logical at all. You're right. Tshuva is not logical. How could this former Nazi wash his hands from Jewish blood? How could this former Nazi say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. I'm genuinely sorry. I am sincerely sorry. I am sorry. Let's trust that he really feels bad about what he did. But how can you... So he didn't do it? How can you look away from everything that he already did? So Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto says that it's not logical at all. But rather, he says, if you look in the fifth line in the Hebrew in the middle, Amnam, Midat Harachamim Hi. It's an expression of Rachamim on the part of God. You know what tshuva is? It's a gift that God gives us. Because it's illogical, and it's inconceivable, and it's anti-rational, but it's Midas HaRachamim. And God wants us to be close to God. God wants us to be engaged with God. You go to a Jewish school, you're part of the Jewish community. You go to shul, you're part of a synagogue shul community. You daven in school, you daven at home. That's all being engaged in a relationship with God. So God wants us to be engaged with Him. And God gives us a gift and says, even though it doesn't make any sense, I will treat what you did in the past as if it didn't happen. If you genuinely and sincerely are sorry about what happened, you want to get rid of it, and you promise and you commit never to doing it again. As we now count down towards Shabbat Shuvah and Yom Kippur, we should think about this. Just mull over in your mind, maybe tomorrow night at the table in all of your respective homes, why don't you raise the question tomorrow night at the Shabbos table? What do you think about somebody who was a member of the Nazi party? And not just a member of the Nazi party, but who killed Jews, who wants to become a ger, wants to convert. So what do you think? Should we allow such a person into the Jewish people or not? Raise the question at the Shabbos table and get into a whole conversation about what tshuva really is. And teach everybody that Rabbi Steinberg in the 1960s said that even though morally it's repugnant, but nevertheless halachically, it's something that cannot be rejected and cannot be denied him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant all of us a ksiva v'chasima tova, gemar chasima tova. I hope that all of you will return for future programs of TLN. I want to thank very, very much on behalf of all of us, express a tremendous debt of gratitude to Adina Borg, to Rebecca Schlachter, to Shana Honig, and everybody else who was involved with this program. A special thanks to Phil Moskowitz, who takes care of everything as well. I wish all of you a very happy and a healthy new year.
Okay, so thank you so much, Rabbi Schachter. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Words can't properly express our appreciation, so thank you.